to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro Podcast booth here at exquisite Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, Stove Crew number 2. Numero dos, I'm going to have the Stove Crew team introduce themselves, starting with Grace.
Grace Lowe, Arlington, Virginia.
I'm Quinn Lowe, Arlington, Virginia.
Jennifer Lowe, Arlington, Virginia.
Daryl Darnell, Edmond, Oklahoma.
Addie Darnell, Edmond, Oklahoma.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the podcast booth. It's so good to have you all here. You just finished your first day at, where were we? Corazón de los Niños, right? In San, do you remember the name of the town? San Pedro Las Huertas. Very good, Addie. Yeah. And so you had a chance to meet Senor Lillian and her staff and
the people who worked on their houses.
And you worked in some houses today. You had some interesting food today. You
delicious
saw delicious food. You liked it, Quinn? And we had a presentation. And it was a very full day today, right? Yeah, a lot of information to learn about the project. Mm-hmm. So tell me what was memorable for you guys today. Yeah, go ahead, Quinn.
I met Cody Hughes today and yesterday, and he's been nice to me this whole time. Thanks, Cody.
So Cody Hughes is one of our other volunteers, actually from my hometown in Michigan. And I haven't seen Cody since he was about your size, Quinn. And Cody's a little bigger now, isn't he? I think he just graduated from high school, state championship football player, and he's kind of a big guy. Yeah, Grace?
I built my helped build my first stove today, and that was fun. We got to cook the hot dogs for the people there, living there.
So why was it so fun for you? I know you guys were really excited yesterday when you arrived. Yeah, I think Quinn said so. When do we build stoves? Like, when are we doing this thing? You know, and is it because you guys have been excited, anticipating it for so long, or was there something about the stove itself that that was really fun?
I haven't built the stove, and we were pretty excited to do stuff like that, and come here to Guatemala, so that's probably why.
Yeah, cool, Quinn.
I was just excited to help other people out. When I was at the airport, a kid came up to us and was just begging for money, and it just made me really sad to see him like that, and that's why I'm here, to help them out and everything.
Amen. So you couldn't really help that kid at the airport very well, but you were able to help this family today.
Yeah.
Did you see the significance, the power of how a stove is going to change this family's life?
They're really happy once it was completed. They're not breathing in smoke anymore. They're still probably going to keep their other stove just in case it's like pouring down rain. The hardest part was probably, digging the hole in the metal.
Oh, cutting the hole in the roof. Yeah. Was that you? Did you do that?
No.
Oh. Who was doing that? Your crew leader?
We were with another crew. And their leader did it.
Yeah, Stuart did that.
We were with crew.
What? We were with Riley.
Five.
Rose,
four?
And
Gina.
Not two.
Four or five. We're crew two.
We were with five, I believe. Crew two. I think that's what they said.
Yeah. And crew three was right next to us.
Yeah. We were lucky because we were learning today and they were teaching us.
Yeah.
And we got to install a stove for a really sweet young family. So it was a young husband and wife and their little 6-month-old baby.
Very chubby.
And they're just a really sweet, nice family.
Kind.
Mm-hmm.
Very kind.
Very happy to have us there.
Yeah.
I was excited to just see the baby's look on his face when he was just like, when he looked at me, he was just like, it was just like his eyes were like wide open. His mouth was like dropping in, and he's like...
He was happy he to was see just another kid, I think, right?
Yeah, and then once he saw the stove, he was really happy.
Did you all see what they were cooking on before the stove came in? What they were cooking
we
on yesterday?
We did. Gas stove. But they might have had, like, another stove, like, somewhere outside.
It's really tiny, so I think the stove that we installed will be much nicer.
Yeah, so sometimes people wonder, you know, like, if they have a gas stove, why do they need this wood burning stove?
Gas is very expensive.
Yes, it is. You guys got it, exactly. Sometimes...
Do they use it during, like, the rainy season, whenever they can't cook outside?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Usually, a gas stove may... You know, they may find it along the roadside. It may be donated to them by somebody. But the expensive part of a stove, a gas stove, is the actual gas. And so even though they may have a gas stove, they may not be able to use it ever or only occasionally when they have maybe a little extra money, they can buy some gas and use it. Or maybe for a special occasion like Christmas or something like that. Yeah. But they probably aren't, well, I guarantee they're not using it every day. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to install the wood-burning stove.
Yeah. The problem about the wood-burning stove when we were doing it, the wood we had to, like, cook them hot dogs for the first meal on it, the wood was wet. So you had to, like, cut out on the outside to, like, get it to light. Luckily, one of our... other members in our crew
Riley?
Had a lighter.
Yeah,
Riley. Riley had a lighter.
Okay.
He's not in our
and
group.
And he had a pocket knife.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the other group.
Yeah, so today we were training with other teams to remember how the stoves go in, and we only needed to do 4 stoves today, and so we wanted to group people up. So tomorrow, you're going to do 2 stoves of your own.
Yes.
It'll just be your crew, and that'll be an exciting time, too. Jennifer, you speak the language. You speak Spanish. What are some of the things that the family were saying? I know they're usually pretty shy, and they're not real chatty, but what were they saying about the stove, about your presence there?
They were just saying that they're very grateful that we're here, and they couldn't be more warm and welcoming and happy to see us. And so, you know, they were interested in what we were doing. So they were, you know, in standing
helpful.
There, helpful, wanting to help us with our work, and, you know, and then said a prayer with us over the stove once we were finished. And we're, you know, really thrilled that we came to visit with them.
I got to talk to the mom a little bit, and she was just, like, talking to me about her baby, and the baby was so cute. I got a chance to talk to them before we left to go to their house. I didn't know we were going to go to their house, but Hope and I were just, like, talking to the baby and talking to the mom.
This was at the community center?
Yeah, this was at
that
correspondence. And the baby was, like, young enough, and, like, you just put your finger up to it, and it would, like, hold your finger. It was so cute. Yeah. It was a lot of fun talking to them.
So, Daryl and Eddie, this is your second year.
Yes.
And you had an opportunity to hear Lillian do a presentation about Corazón de los Niños. Did you learn something new, something different that you didn't know from last year?
Definitely. I mean, some of that is because they've added some new staff. They've been able to add new staff. They had a goal, I think, to add a social worker and was it the psychologist? Or who's the other worker they've added this year?
Actually, I had 2 part-time teachers, tutors.
Teachers. So they've added some new programs for the community because of those positions, and they've been able to impact families in a different, you know, they try to be kind of a holistic solution to, so they're talking about physical health and education, also psychological and social issues that may be going on within the family or the children, and it's not just the children that are enrolled in the school or the program, rather, but the entire family. Like the example that they always give is if the kid has a parasite, the entire family has a parasite, and treating the kid isn't going to solve the problem. So they're looking at what are the core problems of the entire family unit, which here in Guatemala is not just the mom and dad and the kids. It's often the aunts and uncles and grandparents too. And so, you know, they had a goal last year to be able to add to their staff to be able to meet a larger need. And it's really cool to see them, you know, that vision come to life.
Yeah, and they apply that holistic approach to everything. So, you know, parasites is a physical issue, right? But it could be a domestic abuse situation that is impacting the entire family. That's why the kids are not getting good grades at school. And so they, you know, look at all these different areas, whether it's health or education or, job placement, if there's, so they, you know, will help the, help them with skills, like teaching them how to make the baskets that you see here that the ladies sell. So they're looking at everything, not just from a physical perspective, but, in all different ways that's going to help the family and especially the children succeed, help them get out of extreme poverty.
I noticed one new thing from last year, where we had all the donations last year. They had a new, was it soy milk?
It's a soy milk factory, yeah.
Yeah, like they had that whole part, the inside part and like the little outside part, just, and there was like a new door, and it looked pretty nice.
Yeah, we're going to do a tour of that. We're going to take you guys in smaller groups, and we're going to share more about that. But it's an amazing project that they're going to be producing soy milk, which is a very high protein beverage that really helps with malnutrition. And they're also going to use it to sell and support that way. And they also have a bakery, and they're going to be baking soy cookies and soy bread, which I had never had before. In fact, they're launching it. The first test is this Friday. So we're hoping that we might be able to get a taste of some of this, but, it's an amazing, amazing project that, hopefully we'll be able to share more later. But yeah, the center looks very different, mm-hmm. and they have invested a lot of time and energy into that.
First of all, those cookies sound good. and back to how the mom was being really helpful, like, when we were working, to put in the stove, right when we ran out of, ash, she went over to her neighbor, plus friend, and got more ash, like, immediately, and it was, really helpful what happened to help us complete the stove.
There's a very strong sense of community in these villages, isn't there? That was very, very obvious to you. That's great.
There is.
I have a question about the soy thing products.
Mm-hmm.
So are they doing these to, like, sell, or is it part of the organization itself?
It's a great question. So both, actually. So they're using it for the families. And as you know, with each of the projects with the families have to pay something. It may not be the full price, but they have to pay something for all of the gifts that they receive or the benefits they receive for the program. So the families will be able to purchase the soy milk for a very reduced price because they're members of the organization. But then they will also sell it for full price to the public. So they'll be able to make a really good profit on that as well and earn money. So that, do you remember that word? It's kind of a big word we talked about a lot. Autosustenible. Do you remember what that means?
No.
Autosustenible?
Self-sustaining.
Self-sustaining, yes. All the projects that they do are self-sustaining. So they need to be able to, they can't cost them more than what they make. Right. So if they are able to sell something for more than what the price that it costs to make it, then they make a profit and they put that back into the programs. And they're able to hire more staff or offer more programs to the families.
One reason why I really like this program is to help other people out. And it's a no-profit program. It's just for the sake of helping other people. It's not like, oh, I come to Guatemala, help out people, and I get $50. It's, oh, I go come help people out in Guatemala, and I do something for the Lord.
Amen, Quinn.
Quinn and Grace have been really impressive today. If I could just take a minute,
yes,
as a crew leader, brag on my team.
Please do.
You know, first day in Guatemala, full day, and first time setting up a stove, first time at a home in Guatemala. And these two didn't bat an eye. Like, we got there, and they got right to work. They wanted to know what they could do. They weren't intimidated by anything. They weren't intimidated by the homeowners or the language barrier. And Jennifer, of course, with her Spanish, you know, was much relief to me, because my Spanish is very, very poor.
Very, very.
And that was the biggest pressure on me, was like, you know, my communication, even I was trying to get Karen's name, and it was just not, I couldn't understand what she was saying. And Jennifer came around, oh, it's Karen. I'm like, oh, how did I miss it? I couldn't understand it. But this team I've got is just amazing. And these two kids are just, they're going to be team leaders if they keep doing this for too long, because they've got a great heart. Quinn was talking to me afterwards. We were kind of in their home, kind of tucking the bag, putting everything in the bag. And he was talking about how much he enjoyed being able to minister to this family. And that's what he was here for, is to really make a difference and give himself away to these families. So pretty good team.
Yeah, and Daryl just glanced over to Mom, giving her a way to go, Mom glance. And I got to say, Jennifer, we too are really impressed with Grace and Quinn, and they get why we're here. And often someone their age, how old are you guys?
10.
We're 10.
10. Yeah, often 10-year-olds don't have that depth of an understanding. And obviously, you had a big part in that. I'm curious, Jennifer, what were your hopes when you were planning to come? What were your hopes to share with your children and for you yourself, your family, when you were planning to come here to Guatemala?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it was Quinn articulated it probably better than I even could, because, you know, it was really to open their eyes to what the world outside of Arlington, Virginia looks like, and find a way to help other people, since we are so fortunate, and be surrounded by such a supportive group and such a wonderful organization that, you know, we've really felt comfortable and safe being a part of. So, and we were welcomed into. So we are very fortunate that we've got a great crew. It's been just a wonderful first day. Everybody's been so friendly and welcoming, and we've already met a lot of new people and are having, you know, a great time as part of this family. So, you know, we've even on our first day, I can tell we've already accomplished a lot, and I think the kids are going to take home some learnings and understanding of the outside world from their own environment, and, you know, that's what I'm hopeful for, and we'll make some new friends. So
it is. It's different from Arlington, isn't it? I've been to your town.
It is very different.
I've sung in your town before. And you know, what are some of the things that are different about it?
It's a lot more poor here, for one thing. And they have different cultures. And our town is big, and it's right next to a big... It's right next to D.C., which has a bunch of cars and stuff. And here, you can just see a bunch of motorcycles and a few buses and cars, but it's not much. And we don't have as many stray animals.
Right.
Everywhere you look, there's a dog just sitting there.
So how do you know, like you said, they're obviously more poor. What indicates to you, like, how do you know they're poor? What makes you say they're more poor? You're right. I'm just
wondering. We're here to help them, for one thing. Mm-hmm. If they weren't as like that, then we probably would be in some other country trying to help there.
Mm-hmm.
And their houses are a lot smaller than ours, and we're putting concrete in for them. They have dirt floors, and then... Well, we're making stoves for them. too.
So they don't even have a stove to cook on. Good. Quinn.
So when I first got here, my dad couldn't come. He had a lot of work to do this week. My brother's too young. He's only 7, you have to be 8. And I got really homesick that he wasn't here, and so my dad wasn't here. Same with my brother. And after seeing the smile on the people's faces, once we helped them out, it just wiped away all my homesickness, and I just felt really happy. Because it changed their lives that they can now have a stove that's working very well. And adding on to what Grace said, but they don't have they have dirt floors. They are constantly getting sick because there's parasites in the dirt, which will make them sick. And the parasite actually eats before them, which I learned from Sean.
You were listening last night. You were really tired after a long day, and you were listening to the training.
I'm super skinny, so.
Yeah.
And most people, it's not just one person in the family. It's like all the family is just have it because of dirt floors. So that's one reason why we're putting in concrete.
Yeah, it's one reason. So that's why you guys decided to come first time, and it's obvious that you guys get it. I'm curious why the Darnell family decided to return. We're happy that you did, but I'm always curious why people return to Guatemala to help us.
So last year, I made a few friends, like people who live here and people who just like are volunteers, like we are, and so. It was kind of to see them again. And I just really enjoyed, like, well, the scenery around here is beautiful with all the mountains and stuff. Like, and I'm in Oklahoma, we don't have that stuff. We just have buildings, pretty much. Just buildings. Sometimes some grass, maybe. But I really liked helping the people out. I went to Chicago a few years ago, and there were homeless people living on the streets, and you know how in hotels they'll give you, like, little shampoos and conditioners and, like, lotions? Mm-hmm. So at the end of our trip, I decided to take those with me whenever we went out, and I gave those away, and that felt really good, but I felt like I could do more, so now I actually have, I can do more, so I'm actually helping out these families, and not just like a tiny little bottle of something.
Full stacks of clothes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Huge. Everyone who came really committed to coming. They, everyone bought like a whole entire suitcase full of clothes.
Collected donations to bring down on the mission. Yeah, they did. Did you guys do that too?
We brought
5 suitcases
full of clothes.
That's great.
And games and stuff for them.
Yeah.
Girl, I'd like to hear your perspective of why you felt called to return to Guatemala and bring your daughter again.
Well, for me, it's just a character trait that I want to maintain in myself and I want to pass on to my kids, and that is to have a giving heart. And you have provided a great outlet for us to be able to come down, bring our families, feel safe, see the impact that we're doing. You know, again, my first inclination last year, which I guess was in the fall of 2016 when you first approached me, was to send you money. And you said, I'd rather have your presence than your money, or something to that effect. And I was like, you know, but then I have to go down there and take time off of work, and I'm trying to build my business. You know, we all have all these excuses. And I just said, you know what? No pun intended, but now is the time. And I've wanted to do a mission trip all my life and never had. Mm. And so I thought, okay, let's commit to that. And that was last year, and we went last year. You asked, why did we come back? And it was just like, this wasn't a one-time thing. You don't do it one time and that's it. I mean, sure, you can. There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, it's like I said, it's an attitude that I want to, you know, keep within myself and teach my children to keep perspective, not only on how much we have back home, that's self-serving, but to remember that there's always something that we can give and to never lose sight of that. So yeah, I mean, we love the Guatemalan people. They have, you know, the kids, Grace and Quinn have talked about how little the Guatemalan people have and how poor they are, and they're not wrong. But they're the nicest people you ever meet. They all have smiles on their face, and they all say hello, and it's just a wonderful country. So why not come back? I mean, there's nothing, no reason not to come back.
There's nothing not to like.
Yeah. And the food is awesome. Quinn mentioned that, too.
Oh, yeah, it is really good.
And you like the food here.
Especially here. I see a lot of chicken. I like the dessert chocolate cake.
Speaking of food, we'll be eating soon.
Yes, you will be eating soon. So we should wrap this up. But I wanted to ask you if you have any final thoughts for those who might be listening, either to your family or friends, maybe a shout out to somebody who helped you get here, or maybe just an opportunity to say thanks, or maybe a word or two for someone who may be considering coming sometime in the future.
I feel like it's a lot easier to be arrogant whenever you're like enclosed in like a little bubble called the United States and you don't see how other people live and like what it's really like for them. Like going into the homes of these people, you get a sense of like what they have and how they live their life. So it really puts it into perspective, because I mean, in the U.S., I mean, yeah, you know about poverty, you know it's out there, and you see, like, pictures and stuff, but you're just, I mean, if you're like me, you're like, okay, yeah, that happens, but it can't be everywhere. I mean, there's this, and I'm going to this nice school with nice people, and I have a nice house, and then you actually come here and you realize it's reality for these people and they can't get out of it. So I'm glad I get to help them.
It's not a movie.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say when they first come here, it seems like they're in a movie. Like this is unreal. It's a little surreal because they've not lived in anything like this. And once you do, it's becomes a part of you, I think.
Yeah.
To actually experience something, not just watch it.
Well, to my dad and my brother, we're having a good time here, and you guys should definitely come soon. And to everyone else who's considering it, it's really great and it's good to help other people. So I definitely think people should come or at least donate to the cause.
Thanks, Grace.
I'm going to try everything in my power to come next year. I might not be able to come because of camps and everything, but I'm gonna try my best to come because I just love seeing all the people here. The reason why I could tell this is a poor country is because when I walked up to the house, their door, the gate to go in was all metal. Their roof was all metal. Yeah, the door was a curtain.
A curtain?
Yeah,
it was just a curtain that they pulled back, so anything could walk in there.
And they had a door.
They did?
Yeah, they had a door with like a little lock on it. Like what you guys saw today was definitely one of the nicer houses.
It was actually a pretty nice house.
The one we were in today was nicer than anything I saw
concrete,
last year.
Yeah, it had concrete floors, concrete walls. It was painted on the outside. Yeah. They had a nice garden.
Yeah, it was
and
a nice neighbor too.
But many homes do only have a curtain, especially in inside rooms like a bedroom. It may only have a curtain.
So it's really easy for things to just walk in. Like I was talking about dogs, they just can walk in and take the dinner right off the table.
Yeah, they can.
The good thing about the house that we helped, the dogs can't walk in because there's a door, this metal, that's just sitting right there. And I don't think the dogs would be able to push open the door and get in there. But this is what why some people here don't really like the dogs, is because the dogs can literally get up, like Sean told me, and they can go inside their house and take the food.
Yeah, they can.
Because they're wild, right? The dogs here are wild.
Yeah. Except for our family didn't have a pet dog that was 6 years old. I asked them. I think they said six. five or six, I don't remember.
Yeah, there are some pet dogs, but there's a lot of loose dogs, stray dogs.
And they're not exactly well, liked.
No. Jennifer, any final thoughts or words?
We'll just give a shout out to George and Zane. We miss you and love you, and yes, think that you would love it here. And to Grandma and Grandpa, who are the ultimate examples of living with a servant's heart.
Definitely.
And you know, have been extremely supportive in us doing this trip, and have
especially Grandma.
Yeah, and so they're a wonderful example to us, and a lot of the reason why the Quinn and Grace understand the importance of doing work like this. So, shout out to all of them, and we hope that more are with us next year.
I love that. I love that. The reason I was laughing, Quinn, when you said, you know, I'm going to do my best to come next year, because this is day one.
This is day one,
and you're already planning to come back next year. That always makes Dalmer East and I laugh, because, I mean, it warms our heart that you feel that comfortable and that you feel the importance of the mission, but it's only the first day, and so we're really excited to see what happens
for the next several days. All the more reason to start booking the flights if we already like it on the first day.
Yeah, she's right. We should, like, have a computer right here, and let's get the commitment now.
By the time, I hope, when I'm 15, I bet this place will develop a lot, because this wasn't there around 30 people? Something like that?
Yeah, last week, we had around 30.
This week, there's like 42, around that.
Yeah.
I think 39?
Something like that. Zilda, 41. So there's a lot more people coming. And it's so helpful for everyone else to come, because these people, they're always really kind when you see them. They're always really kind. They always say hello, and they're just really nice to anyone who comes to help.
Final thoughts? Anyone else?
Excuse me. I'll give a shout out to Carrie and Colby back home, and I invited my work team to listen to the podcast this week. So if you're one of those people and you're listening, thanks. And thanks for taking care of shop so I can come to Guatemala.
I went first.
And it's beautiful. Somebody mentioned that, but it's absolutely gorgeous, surrounded by
the
hills, and mountains and volcanoes.
And the clouds, and even.
Just really a gorgeous, gorgeous place.
Especially when you see the lava dripping during night. It's just,
we're definitely going to look at that tonight.
Well, we thank all of those that sent you and made it possible for you to be here. We could not be here and doing what we do without you. And so for all those that can hear my voice and who were supporting this incredible team sitting around the table here today, thank you so much. We are so blessed to have them here, and those that we are serving are so blessed to have them in their homes, loving them and serving them in a very, very powerful way. And I want to thank all of you sitting around this table. We are truly humbled and honored to serve with you side by side, to help our brothers and sisters in Christ here in Guatemala. So thank you again for your service to our Lord and to his children here in Guatemala. And thanks for sharing your stories on the podcast. So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga. May God bless you. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.